We all knew that we were changing the world. We were asking America to make a bold step forward. And it did. It did. And there's a little bit backlash. I'm okay taking a little backlash. As long as the backlash is based on progress, I just need to remind myself of that progress.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in this week to Duane Morris DEI 360 with Joe West. I am Yumika Anderson Howard, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Manager at the firm. On today's episode, Duane Morris IP partner Elaine Villeneuve joins Joe in a discussion on LGBT rights and the pendulum swing of progress.
Hello, everyone. Joseph West here. I'm a partner at Duane Morris and the Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer. With me today is one of the fantastic intellectual property partners at the firm, Elaine Villeneuve. Elaine, am I pronouncing your last name correctly? I always mess it up.
You know what? That was the first discovery when I got to America. Is I realized that my husband is Taiwanese and he came to the US and his name was very complicated. So he took a US name and my name is Alain Villeneuve and there's just no equivalence in English. So there's sounds in there that just don't exist. So I'll go by Alan. I love Alan, it's good enough.
Well, thank you for saying that and making me feel better. I will tell you, I was so extraordinarily thrilled when you joined the firm. I actually am involved in the onboarding and the interviewing process for all of the diverse lawyers who come into the firm. And I remember how extraordinarily impressive you were when we spoke. And you have not disappointed, both from the excellent work that you both brought into the firm, the extent to which you've been such a fantastic partner, but also you're having jumped in and adding tremendous value to the firm's ongoing diversity and inclusion efforts. So let me start by asking you how in the world we at Duane Morris were so fortunate to be able to have you come our way.
Well, actually, thanks for the question. It's very kind of you. So actually, the decision to join Duane Morris was 99.9% diversity related. I didn't even know the salaries that were going to give me before I met Matt, and I committed, okay? And here's why, because my mentor at my previous firm was LGBT. He was out, I came out at my previous firm. We connected, the guy was just fantastic. And he had been trying to poach me from my previous employer because he was saying how wonderful Duane was. And sure enough, I became a partner. When I became a partner, I started being better at what I did. My book of business grew. And once it grew, it started casting a shadow. I didn't realize it at first. As an associate, it was fine being diverse. But then as a partner, there was a shadow. And the reaction I was getting wasn't a fair fight, you know, I got my book and you got your book. It was actually, they were attacking me essentially on these diversity things. And, you know, who I am, what I do, how I do business development. You know, the best example was I do triathlons, you know, and a lot of people do golf. And I was told, quote, we're denying an approval to do a triathlon with CEOs, including the mayor of Chicago. But he said, quote, if it was a foursome with spouses and clients at golf, we would approve the expense. I got that, you know. So all this to say that Paul, the diverse partner, recruited me. And, you know, three things really made it for me. Number one, the head of IP in Chicago, a woman, which was awesome. Number two, you. Number three, which was shocking, that was the week actually when a Pride Month letter from Matt Taylor came out. And the partner at Duane sent me that email. He said, you know, it's an internal email. Don't set out, but take a look. And I remember because it literally, it rocked me. And I went on the website and I saw the page on the website with the rainbow flag. And, you know, I can be successful anywhere. And, you know, I have no kids and I'm married and my husband's very successful. It's not about the money for me. it really is about being in a place where people really respect who we are. And so with those three things in mind, then I met the structure, and I was shocked. And I can tell you, in 4 years today, this week is my fourth year anniversary at Domain. And I will say this, that, you know, if you're mining for gold in regards to lateral partners, that's the place to mine, in my opinion, because lateral partners, sometimes they move because of work-related issue. Well, diverse people don't necessarily move for work-related issue. They move because of who they are.
Well, listen, you thank you for saying all of that. You've, I think, illustrated in one passage how we function here at our firm and the extent to which diversity and equity and inclusion are part of our DNA, both in dealing with our internal stakeholders as well as our external stakeholders. You alluded to Pride Month, which we are celebrating right now, yeah. And the extent to which things like that, generally in the diversity space, but particularly Pride Month, are important considerations.
It's hard. You're asking a business like Disney to actually step outside its comfort zone, take a position that actually is, you know, I understand some people are, you know, 80% of America loves us right now, which is great, but there's still 20% out there that think that, you know, think a different way. And for a law firm that has 1,000 attorneys and 3,000 staff members, we're insulting a couple of hundred people every time we're nice to me. And I get that.
So let me ask you this. I'm glad you mentioned that. Let's talk about that a little bit. How would you advise an entity that is trying to navigate that conundrum you just described? What approach should they take? You mentioned Disney specifically by name. I'm sure there are lots of other entities out there that have not sort of fully embraced a means of celebrating pride, celebrating the LGBTQ community. And they're trying to navigate that tightrope between not alienating, you know, that portion of their customer or client base or whatever business they're in for whom that's an issue, and embracing equity in its fullest extent. What advice would you give them?
I think it is not the job of an employer to actually have to navigate that. I think what the employer needs to understand is that in the corporate world, decisions are always made for the majority. So I understand if I'm LGBT, I'm 4%. Let's assume we're 4% of the firm. And I know Dwayne has a large contingency. I ran the math, and I think we're 5% of the population in the US. And I think we're 5% of Dwayne, which is very exciting. But what's important is every single time a decision is made, which coffee we're going to have in the lunchroom, we always think majority. We always think, I want to be nice to people. I want the coffee I select to be liked by most people. And so therefore, all corporate decisions across the board are always focused on this majority element. As a result of that, which is in theory the right thing to do. I mean, you're supposed to help as many people as you can. The problem I have is, since I'm 5% and I'm different, I like different furniture, I like different clothing, different dress code, different food, different hours, different way of managing the computers. I like Macintosh, well, people like PCs. Everything, because it's the majority, every time there's a decision made, it's not what I like. And I get that. And as a diverse person, the problem we have is we feel 100% of the time a decision is always what I don't like. I mean, the best example is go work in Japan, and you're in Japan and someone just says, get lunch for everybody. You can't pick. You don't know what people want, and you don't want to insult people. You don't want to pick something people don't like. So decisions are really hard when you're in the minority. And being, I'm double diverse, I'm a foreigner, and I'm LGBT, 100% of the time, every decision that comes in, I'm like, that's not what I would have done, but I get why they're doing it for everybody else. So to answer your question, we need to teach management that every single time they make a decision, it's not what I would do, but that's not insulting. But in fact, it just grinds away. Once out of 20, if we're 5% of the people, once out of 20, I would like a decision where people say, you know what, we're just going to go for Alan. If it's racial, it's 15%, right? We're going to go for something that we as a majority would not do. But for once, we want to be inclusive to the group. But I understand, as a business, that's not possible. You can't make your business. Yeah.
You make a very good point. But here's what I want to pose for you.
Yeah, go for it.
That sounds great. However, we live in an era now where companies, corporations, law firms, large entities really, really have to be sensitive even to the smallest minority. There has to be a level of policy nimbleness. The accountability buffer is gone. And, there has to be a level of responsiveness that you didn't used to have now to voices that might not necessarily be in the majority. And oftentimes those voices speak very loudly. How do you account for that?
So you're right. I spoke a little fast when I said we shouldn't take into consideration that that's not true. I think in the discourse that we have to not take a discourse that favors one group over the other.
Right.
And whenever we're talking, my point was really that when you talk about decisions that impact a majority, you're generally constantly grinding away at the minority. And you have to understand that the minority, after a while, when it starts voicing itself, it's not in discontent. It's not, you're not being rude. Like me, if they order food I don't like, after a while, I'm going to say, again, sandwiches, that doesn't mean I'm not happy with the choice. It just means please factor me in once in a while. And I agree with you. And I think the way to do this is to once in a while send a love signal.
Sorry to interrupt you, but to use your analogy, what if you're a vegan?
Yeah.
And every time they come back with bacon.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with you saying, hey guys, I don't need pork.
No. I'm lucky because I have two diversity. One, I'm an immigrant, and one, I'm LGBT. And there's a big difference between both because I picked to be an immigrant. I didn't pick to be LGBT. So whenever I'm different because I'm Canadian, that's my problem, really. I consider, I'm in someone's house, I'm invited. Even though I'm an American citizen, I view these things differently. So I agree with you that when it's the core of your person in America, right now, I think it's 70% of the population is diverse, right? So we need to factor that more and more. But I think management needs to, companies, they need to send love signals. And these love signals are actions like yours, for example.
So you mentioned being an immigrant, and you and I've had several conversations about this, very, very eye-opening. Another reason why I just absolutely love and respect you so much. We have at Duane Morris some very, very active employee resource groups. We have our Pride group. We have African-American, Latino, Asian American lawyers with disability, both employees, staff, as well as lawyers. You've talked to me about, and we're in the process of establishing it, an ERG that's focused on immigrants.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, it's something that didn't occur to those of us in leadership and those of us who are managing the firm's diversity work. I think it's a fantastic idea. Tell me why you suggested it and why you think it will be able to provide similar value to the firm and to our clients as the other ERGs.
So to me, a diversity or group is when you are placed in a position of work where the flow of water, you're swimming and the flow of water is against you and not on your back. And, I was a French Canadian and I went to France, and the fact is they love French Canadians. And being a French Canadian was actually water in my back. I was going better. People wanted to associate with me. I wasn't being diverse. It was actually something that helped me. I find that America is a culture that is so strong that it's hard, because when you come in with your baggage, your way of doing things, your culture, and actually America is a melting pot. Everybody's an immigrant here. But the problem is at work, we have to act like an American. The best example is, you know, reaction to management. In France, it is popular and recommended to be criticizing, to actually bring up issues, problems, and be a troublemaker. Those are people who care about the company in France, where here it's exactly the reverse. You got to be a team player, and if there's a problem, handle it on your own. This is really, really hard because these are sociological differences that go to the core of who someone is. And I think being an immigrant at Duane Morris, it's even more important because we have all these offices around the world. We have people in Vietnam. We have people in China. We have people in the UK. And those people, trust me, when they show up, they love America. They love Americans. They love the sociology. But imagine the problems with practicing law. Imagine the problem. Like, you have to practice Japanese law in a Japanese law firm, write a Japanese memo. You don't know the basics. So the goal of an ERG would be to tell everybody, you're an immigrant here. You are a child of immigrant. You have visa issues. You have immigration issues. But also you have sociological issues. And we will it's just a group. I think these ERG, what they are, it's number one, recognition, a little love to people saying, okay, we know you're different. You got problems. Let's try and start the discussion. And more importantly, we want to send a message to everybody at the firm that might be shy to jump in, might realize, you know, sometimes as an associate, you're working a law firm, and you do something and you hear the work, like, you know, the partner is not happy with your work product, but you don't know how to bridge the gap, how to talk about it, how to ask the feedback back. I think that's the role of a good ERG or good mentors, is to say, okay, in this case, you are off. Or in this case, you know what, let me call that person up for you. And let's just try and find a way, you know, and I think that's the goal. And I think we would do miracles with a lot of, you know, affairs that are current affairs, what's going on, you know, the war in Ukraine. I mean, if you're a foreigner, you have a view that's completely different, or an immigrant, completely different than the view of an American.
Yeah, listen, it was a no-brainer, and we're in the process of putting that together. And I say this without fear of contradiction, that'll be one of the most valuable ERGs at the firm. I want to talk a little bit in the time we have left about this sort of pendulum swing you see that is this sort of rising anti-equity, anti-diversity, anti-knowledge, this attack on the principles of equity, principles of inclusion, the things that we've known at least for the last several decades, that they've gained some currency in the workplace and in the educational system, have value in this country, the principles that we are supposed to be about. A lot of it is aimed at people of color. A lot of it is aimed at LGBTQ. I want to get your thoughts about that. Why do you think this is happening? How long do you think this will be part of our reality? And what do you think people should be doing about it?
Why it's happening? I think it's simple. It's an overreaction on a change. Obama and Michelle had the White House for 8 years, and he showed us how to be a president, if you ask me. Big fan. And nobody thought there's not going to be a little pushback after that. We all knew that we were changing the world. We were asking America to make a bold step forward. And it did. It did. And there's a little bit backlash. I'm okay taking a little backlash. And as long as the backlash is based on progress, I just need to remind myself of that progress. And in regards to LGBT rights, you are right. I mean, when there's no other reasons to get people to the voting booth, we're generally one of them. And, you know, I use compassion. Like, you know, we got more rights, and we got the rights to get married, and we got that right, and we're being accepted, and we're getting movies, and we're getting, you know, we're starting to get there. And there's a reaction that says, hey, not too fast, not too much. It's ridiculous. If you ask me, it's completely ridiculous. Every movie, every book, everything I've ever watched in my life had straight kisses in it. And then one day there's one gay kiss and every straight person freaks out, right? But that being said, we're seeing movement. So focus on the positive. Disney didn't cave. You know, the movie Buzz Lightyear is coming out. There's one gay kiss. They said, no, we're not removing it. We'd rather not have our movie shown in 5 countries. They did the same thing with one of the Marvel movies. Doctor Strange, the second one. There was a lesbian kiss. The little girl, the little main character had 2 moms. They said, we're not changing. So that's positive. And yes, there's negative. I see the negative. It's annoying me. I don't like watching it on TV. But in my mind, it's like the stock market. If we're going up 100 points and then we're going down 30 points, I'm okay with the 30 points. That makes sense?
Well, that made perfect sense. And I think that stock market analogy will resonate with
you. Right now. Yeah.
Listen, Elaine, thank you for making time. I will end this conversation the way I started it. I'm so glad that you're a part of the Dewayne Morris family. You have just been such a tremendous asset. I should point out to people one quick story. I know you don't want me to tell it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Part of what our charge is as members of the diversity committee is to mentor diverse associates. There was an African-American female associate who lived in Chicago who was basically a captive in her apartment in the summer of 2020, post George Floyd, when there was a lot of unrest in a lot of major cities. She was, I will just say it, at a great bit of risk. And you and your husband basically took her in. She said to me once that Elaine saved my life. What you've meant to this firm, what you mean to the people in this firm is beyond what we can express. So I just want to say thank you for that.
That's awesome. I think diversity has a capacity to see one person. We see granular more than the firm as a whole. So I'm not really good at seeing the firm as a whole, but I can see an individual and I see one associate and I see one problem. And I think that's our power. Our power is, you know, the force in one. This morning we interviewed for a new assistant and I told my story. And I said, you know, we're 2 immigrants. We came to this country without a dollar. We put it all on the line. We got 2 law degrees and today we're 1 percenters, you know, and we're very successful and we're very happy. And we're 2 guys, and you know, this country has given us so much. And this law firm, I joined specifically because of diversity. And I can promise it delivered on all trusters. Is this firm perfect? No. Is the profile perfect? No. But is it trying? Yes. So you know what? You can't ask for more.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate everything you've done. And thanks for making time. It's always good to see you.
All right. Have a good day.